This is Midday Theater critic J. Wynn Russick. I'm talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Paula Vogel. A co-production of her most recent play, Indecent, begins previews at Baltimore Center Stage tonight. Paula, I understand that you knew from the start that you wanted Indecent to include music. And I know you create soundtracks when you're writing a play, but they don't always end up on stage. Why did you feel music was so important, so essential to Indecent?
Well, one of the things that I saw when I saw the image of the troupe rising from dust in this attic is I saw three musicians. I saw a violinist, an accordionist, and someone playing the clarinet. In fact, it's a klezmer band. For those who know Jewish music, it's the klezmer is an amazing precursor to American jazz. So, and then I realized that in this period where the play ends, 1940s in Lodz, Poland, when the Germans moved in and invaded Poland, they literally censored and closed down theater. At some point, if you were a Jewish actor, you could not perform Shakespeare, you could not perform any Aryan playwright. So these troupe members, in order to survive, did cabaret, did musical skits. And this happens a lot through censorship. You basically create that kind of Saturday Night Live music parody, which is a way of evading censorship, which is a way of speaking to power through parody in music. So I felt it was essential to tell this story to actual extant songs from 1906 to 1953.
So I also have to ask, you worked on this play for 7 or 8 years. What are you working on now?
I'm working on an incredible project, and unfortunately I'm not allowed to talk about it yet.
Oh, boo.
But it's got everything that I love, and I feel that Indecent gave me the muscle to attack this new project. That I'm working on with British collaborators. So that hopefully will come out in the next year. I'm also working on Cressida on Top, an absolutely new play. After that, I'm starting to write what I'm calling the Mother Play, which is a commission for the Mark Taper and Second Stage in New York.
Cressida on Top, it sounds like, since it's the Don Juan play, is it sort of a new version of Don Juan Comes Home from Iraq?
I ripped up the older version, which, you know, it was an amazing fun to write for a theater company, the Wilma and Blanca Ziska. But along the way, I realized that I didn't really write the play that was in my head. So I've gone back and written this. It's now a futuristic dystopia, and it's much more of a kind of dark sex comedy with Don Juan and six women soldiers.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And you're also, this academic year, you've been a playwright in residence at UCLA, is that right?
That's right.
So a lot of traveling.
But, you know, that's the life of a playwright. If I want to stay put, I guess I'm going to have to become a poet or a novelist.
Now, there are three awards that I know of that are given in your name. All of them are for young, emerging playwrights. And, of course, you've headed the graduate playwriting programs at Brown University and the Yale School of Drama. What is the next generation of playwrights up to? Do you feel that they have greater opportunities than you did, perhaps?
I do feel that there are greater opportunities. There are more awards, commissions, fellowships, and I think that that's absolutely necessary, because this next generation, I do read as much as I can, and I track younger writers. And it's a really thrilling generation. You know, I think it's we're at the breaking point now where we're looking at representation. And to hear from writers of color and women writers who have long been having to leave the theater to either write in other forms or write in film and TV or just go to law school because theater companies were producing more white men. And I think we've gotten to this point now where we're recognizing this is a resource we cannot lose.
And you, of course, have nurtured a lot of those playwrights who lacked representation in the past. Well, besides awards in your name, you have won a lot of awards, including the Pulitzer Prize. You were honored for lifetime achievement by Off-Broadway's Obie Awards. You've been inducted into the American Theater Hall of Fame. But you didn't make your Broadway debut until age 65 with Indecent. I hear you laughing. Were you surprised that it took so long? I certainly was.
I was surprised. You know, Broadway is not, in order for me to continue to write, it had to not be my criteria of success. I actually didn't think I was going to make it at all. A lot of playwrights that I love and worship, particularly Maria Irene Fornes and Carol Churchill, I don't believe Churchill's been done on Broadway. You know, I think that one of the reasons I've long been interested in censorship is that I think that our institutions do a benign censorship, a way of not reading or choosing the marginalized, the underrepresented, in terms of race and class and gender. So I didn't expect it at all. To be truthful. You know, I have to say, of course, that it was a thrill for all of us who worked together on this play to be there together. And if it happens again, you know, if lightning strikes me twice, that's going to be wonderful. I think I have defined my success in terms of regional theater and in terms of mentoring younger writers.
Well, two forums that you certainly have led the way in. I'm just going to ask you one final thing, going back to Indecent. For me, a few of the things I learned from that play are central tenets of art in general. We learn that art leads the way, that art can't be suppressed. What do you hope audiences take away from Indecent?
Well, it is a Valentine to the theater in terms of all of the other issues. I do want to impart my love for theater, and that theater makes us into a community in a way that no other art form can. I do want to say to younger people, as well as those in the audience that are my age, to paraphrase Lin-Manuel, love is love is love. And I do want to say, you know, we have closed our borders to immigrants before with catastrophic results. Citizenship involves, I think, a spectrum of participation from supporting local artists and going to local stages, but also to voting and marching and speaking out if we want to change the direction that our country is going. So I'm hoping the play says, you know, we've been down this path before. I feel that hope is the most important thing for citizens, for us, to hold on to.
Well, a good note to end on. Paula, we've loved talking with you. Thank you for joining us.
Love talking to you.